Chapter 12. Stop with the excuses. In this chapter, I'll talk about Gone with the Wind, how to make depressing content palatable, and raising the dead industries. Throughout the relatively short history of the Ask Gary Vee show, I fielded numerous questions from people convinced that their especially dull or outdated industry or uninspiring job poses a special marketing challenge. It's stunning how many remarkable reasons and circumstances people can come up with to explain why they haven't met with success. Of course, the problem doesn't usually lie with a type of industry or job. The problem lies with the individual who can't see opportunities when they're right in front of his or her face. There might not be any easier place to make your mark than an environment where few people, if any, are putting much effort into making their mark, or where everything has stayed the same since the dawn of time. What I find heartening is what often happens after I answer these kinds of questions. A high percentage of people will email me afterwards to say, "Hey, you were right," and tell me that my answer sparked the beginning of a mindset shift that led to rapid gains. I have no interest in being a motivational speaker, but it's scary and exciting to see how little it sometimes takes to change someone's perspective. Maybe we all look for excuses to explain why we don't achieve what we want to, and we should be more self-aware and recognize how much control we actually have over our own fate. Even taking into account the barriers like racism, sexism, nationalism that many of us have to face. It's amazing how as soon as you make the shift from "I can't" to "why can't I," you go from defense to offense. And as everyone knows, the best place to score is always on offense.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Draymond Green, forward for the Golden State Warriors, and I am super excited about reading the next 10 questions in the Ask Gary Vee book to you. Thanks a lot for having me. You are much appreciated. How do I create interesting content for a boring product or a stale industry?
A white lawyer defends a black man in a small southern town. A spoiled rich girl gets married 3 times and survives the Civil War. Boy meets girl. Recognize any of these? Shaved Down to Their Core, To Kill a Mockingbird, Gone with the Wind, and Romeo and Juliet sound pretty damn boring. Their lasting power lies in fresh, imaginative, daring, surprising storytelling of their creators. There is no boring if you tell your story right. What really gets me excited about this question is just living my life. For so many years, people came up to me and said, "Gary, you're so lucky though, especially with Crush It and as my brand was building. You're so lucky, Gary, you have wine. That's an interesting category. That's why you were successful." Which, you know, if you know me, that pissed me off to no end, because I wanted to remind people that before me, wine was held in a very esteemed place in the U.S. People talked down to people about it. If anything, people were intimidated about wine. Yeah, there was a small subset, normally in the affluent world, of people that were intrigued by wine. But the people that I was reaching and the people that were getting excited about wine and get excited about me, these were beer drinkers. These were 23-year-old dudes. These were 31-year-old females that had never been exposed to the wine world. They thought about wine 3 times a year. Thanksgiving, this, that, and the other thing. It wasn't that interesting. It's just I created interest around it. And if you look back, if you look at Jim Cramer, you know, is that really interesting? Is Wall Street interesting to people that don't care about making money on Wall Street? The answer is no. And I can break down everything, including things that we've accepted, like sports and music. By the way, I'm not that interested in music, but Casey Kasem in the morning as a kid on radio got me excited about it. If you know how to storytell, especially if you have 2 things, listen to me, and listen to me good, and this is a very, very important part of this audiobook. If you have passion, like you really love it, and, because a lot of you love a lot of things, and you have expertise. Everybody knew I had passion with Wine Library TV. What everybody forgot is the day I started that show, I'd been in that industry for more than half my life. That at 14, 15, 16, and 17 years old, before I was 30 when I started the show, I was reading The Wine Spectator, becoming educated. That from 21 to 30, I was tasting and drinking 50 wines a day, buying for one of the biggest companies in the country, becoming deeply educated. So when I had all my charisma and I was excited, I could also have the chops for the people that actually cared about learning. If you have those two things, you can win. Whether you're building jet engines, if you're doing carpeting, I'm looking at the carpet right now as I read this. I'm bored as hell with carpets, but I promise you, if you're listening right now and you are passionate about carpets, you know interior design, if you don't think that you can make a Snapchat or Instagram or YouTube show that explodes your carpet business, well, then you're not paying attention to what's happened over the last 10 years, and more importantly, what's gonna happen over the next 10 years. There is absolutely no boring product if you're actually in business. Let me say that again. There is absolutely no boring product if you're actually in business. If people are buying it, they have an interest. Maybe it's not the most interesting thing in the world. They have an interest about saving money on it, using it properly. It may be a utility, not an entertainment. But if you're lucky enough to be selling a utility, something people need, and if you can just add a little bit of entertainment, then you've got gold.
How can a nonprofit that works to solve a serious problem like human trafficking make depressing content dynamic?
Before I go any further, big shout out to Draymond Green, who's reading this. I'm a huge Knicks fan. When he was a free agent, I became friendly with him. We're about to be a free agent. My brother and I desperately tried to convince him to come to the Knicks. For him, it looks like he's made the right choice. Anyway, very serious topic here. Look, I think dynamic is the important part of this question. I think a lot of people are caught up in not understanding that you don't have to make something humorous and funny, which I think people default to on Twitter and YouTube and places like this. How do you make a serious problem dynamic? The same way that every great documentary with depressing music or serious music, with the right editing and cuts. I mean, look, you can put out facts. Instagram is incredible for putting out content with like some wording over it, like one in every three children X. You can make the content very dynamic. Books and magazines and New York Times articles and documentaries and movies have done this forever. I just went and saw Spotlight, a movie that was very dark. It was dynamic. It wasn't up. You're not asking me how do you make this uplifting. You're also not asking me how do you make everybody care about it. You're asking me how to make it dynamic, which is the hope of making everybody care about it. I think you deliver it with the seriousness that it deserves, but I think you DJ it into the world. I'm more likely to see in my stream somebody share on Instagram or Facebook a picture of a child or a depressing photo that has, did you know? I love did you know. It makes the brain think. Did you know one in every three people in Asia? There's so many ways to do this. So I think you have to respect the context of the platforms, which is the religion of everything that I talk about. But you need to recognize, and I hear this a lot, you don't have to make it funny. You don't have to make it pretty. You have to make it authentic and real, but contextual so it actually gets to people's faces.
My goal is to wake the dead, aka the funeral business. What are your thoughts on bringing relevance to a gray-haired industry?
So I'm going to take this in two parts. On the show, I answered this very directly and talked about a very far-fetched idea of like becoming a leader in reviewing flowers or sourcing flowers, because I was making the connection of what's the lightest heart thing I could talk about in a funeral. A lot of flower action going on there. You know, I've actually rethought this a little bit, and this is why the audiobook is so fun compared to the book. I mean, that is still true, but I do think that's a Hail Mary. I think there's another way to look at it, which is kind of a little bit of this chapter's theme, which is where are people going to be playing in our world that are going to be dealing with these issues? I would say that that's Facebook. One of the things that you could be doing in marketing is actually marketing in a 5 to 25 mile radius, which is what a funeral home, I think, is oftentimes going to be getting business from. And you could be marketing towards, I mean, this is very just real. I mean, I'm kind of like, you can see my energy going in a different direction. You're a funeral home. If I grew up in that business right now and I was running it, I would run ads on a 25 mile radius, because I would assume that my business was probably doing better within a 5 mile radius. You start going out that far, there's other places to go. And the truth is, I would be targeting 50 to 75 year olds on Facebook, because I'm gonna make assumptions that their relatives and more importantly, their parents are probably the ones that are starting to pass. And honestly, where I would go with this is I would write content and I would produce content and I would make videos and pictures that would say things like, what would you like to see us do? So I'm thinking about you know, I'm hitting a 68-year-old in their Facebook feed because that's where they're living right now. Let's remember, let's take a step back for every business here, for any gray-haired business. The enormous usage of 50 to 80-year-olds on Facebook right now is at scale, real scale. This is not a Snapchat demo yet. And so, you know, I think a lot of them are dealing emotionally now with their parents in homes, their parents being sick, you know, them being concerned about that. And I think getting feedback from them on a, what would you like to see us do to make these moments better? Or you'll get people who've just went through it and said this was bad or good from other places. I think you start building a little bit of a community. You start making a connection. And at the end of the day, business is about connections. The amount of wine I sell at Wine Library because I went to high school with somebody that has a coworker with that person at Merck in New Jersey, it's just a little lightweight connection. That's what content allows you to do. And it doesn't always have to be a piece of advertising. Sometimes it needs to be a piece of conversation. And I think this industry needs a piece of conversation. And very honestly right now, I have goosebumps because I'm reminded why I'm doing this audiobook. Because I'm just as human as anybody else. And the truth is, this answer is 8,000 times better than the answer I gave on the Ask Gary Vee show just 6 months ago. So that got me excited.